Do you think it's easy putting together a radio show with different music each week, along with a totally unique guest co-host you've never worked with before? Meet Bill McNeil, a true radio head. At the drop of a hat, McNeil has an interesting anecdote to share about how, as general manager of the coast at 89.7 Glace Bay, Nova Scotia, he helped to found and start up this badly needed, now beloved community radio station serving eastern Cape Breton. I'm Paul Kellogg, proud to share the mic with Bill McNeil here on the next Blue Nose Opera House radio show. Blue Nose Opera House, and a fellow sitting next to me I hardly know. In fact, I think we just met once.
That's right.
And he's my friend, but he's also my boss. So we have to be very careful what we say here. Bill McNeil, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be here.
Bill McNeil is the, what's your formal title? Station manager? General manager?
General manager and program director.
Man about the entire facility.
Chief cook, bottle washer, jack of all trades.
Give you a chance to settle down. You're at the coast.
Yes.
At CKOA 89.7. I have to get that in, Glace Bay.
That's
Cape
right.
Cape Breton. A beloved, and I have to underline that, a beloved great community station. So give you a chance to warm up the chair and just relax a bit. Do you remember the British invasion? People immediately think of the groups, the Beatles,
yes.
Herman's Hermits, the Pacemakers, the Stones. They don't always associate it with the girl groups or the women. And you may recall this. Her name is Sandy Shaw.
You have a date for your best date tonight. Some distant bell starts chiming now. You want to see her. The time rolls on, those minutes fly by. You wanna go, but just to try, guy. You wanna see her. You wanna see her. Oh yeah. So you wait and wait. Girl, don't come. You've been stood up.
Happy time, not politically. The whole youthful thing that was going on with the Beatles landing and the haircuts and the suits, it was neat.
Well, what I like about that is it's all real instruments, you know.
Like
today,
right.
So much stuff is pre-programmed and kind of processed. Just sweet.
Yeah, and that doesn't have artificial nutrients in it. As you say, it's absolutely real and not manufactured. Where did life begin for you, Bill?
Well, I was born in the town of Glace Bay, technically. I guess you could say that's where the hospital was.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a village called Reserve Mines.
Yes.
Very small community, very tight-knit community, located pretty much halfway between Glace Bay and the city of Sydney.
Sydney. And that's there's also a road named after Reserve Mines.
Well, yeah. There's one called Reserve Street, where our station is located.
Mm-hmm.
And Reserve Mines up until, I forget the exact year, still technically is the home of the Sydney Airport. It was very famous. It was the Reserve Airport at one point.
I'm anxious to just talk to you about community radio and what you've done, and we will. But let's go back to your early family. What was it like?
I have one sister. I grew up in a household. My mom and dad were both from reserve mines. Mm-hmm. And my dad passed away when I was just 11, and my sister was 8, but left us with a lot of great memories. And we were very fortunate. We grew up in a row of houses where my mother's parents had settled and their brothers and sisters had settled. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a unique circumstance for us. My mother's parents, my grandparents on her side, were literally next door.
So it was tough on your mother, but yet there was a support system.
Great support system. And we grew up, the neighbors were all relatives for the most part. It was quite unique.
Do you think much about your dad?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
And any influences that he had that maybe you didn't know at the time, but hit you later on as an adult?
I think his sense of humor. I remember his sense of humor, so I certainly think...
Did you inherit that?
I think I inherited a dry sense of humor sometimes, they say, maybe a sick sense of humor at times.
But, I doubt it.
I think I've inherited that for sure. And the one thing I didn't inherit was his love of the Montreal Canadiens.
You didn't?
No, I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Could you say that in public?
I think I just did.
Yeah. And Dave just cut us off. His hands are going across his throat, and he's now hoping for a Nova Scotia power blackout. So you got flack for that?
A little bit. But yeah. My mom was a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, so, and still is, so.
Diehards, right?
Oh, and root for the underdog, right?
The kind of memories that you have in your home, does she still live in that same house?
She just moved from that house, and my sister just took over that house. So it's still in the family.
So like Kev Corbett, you can go into the house, go upstairs, see the bedroom where you lived,
yeah,
and look out the same window. And
everything is there, yeah.
That's kind of neat. My parents stayed in their house for a long time. What was nice was that I could take my son back and stay in the same room where I grew up, and he could look out at the same views and trees and neighbors and all of that that I knew. So there was a little bit of that thread, that connection.
I was very happy. I was glad that my mom and her husband had moved out of the house and into a senior's complex,
mm-hmm.
A duplex, I guess you would call it, because it's one level and it's much easier for her to get around. But at the same time, my sister has the family home, so, you know, it's still home to me as well.
She resists making changes to it?
Pretty much so. She's got a little...
sentimental reasons.
Yeah, just minor modifications.
You are only the second person out of almost 3 years now of doing this show who've requested Elvis Presley.
Really?
Where does this come from?
Well, I tell you that the earliest musical memories I have in the home are of hearing the Elvis Presley Christmas album, the original one now, not the one they did in the 70s, but the original one with some wonderful gospel tunes on there as well.
Like I Believe?
Yeah, yeah. And There Is No Secret and all of those great tracks. And, I guess a lot of folks say, well, you know, Bill's a big Elvis fan. And I'm an Elvis fan from a musical standpoint, I wasn't caught up so much on the pop icon type of deal, but certainly one of the earliest things I remember, besides the Christmas album being played, it was a tradition, it had to go on there, we had to hear Blue Christmas and the whole bit. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I remember was being allowed to stay up late when I was 8 years old in 1968, I think it was first week of December, and NBC, and of course they were carrying it in Canada as well, what's now called the Comeback Special. Mm-hmm. But it was just simply Elvis, the 68 special. And I remember excited to stay up late and watch that show in prime time, of course, right? And I was very moved with the song he ended the show with. And that song, I learned a lot more about the song as I got older, that Elvis, of course, obviously had gospel roots and he was looking for something inspirational, but producers of the show didn't want him to necessarily sing a gospel song at the end of the show. And, of course, there was the passing, at that point, the assassinations of Bobby Kennedy.
Yep.
And Martin Luther King. And he, mm-hmm. he went to a songwriter and said, I want to relay this. I want to relay my feelings, my sadness, but also my hope for the future in a song. And he did that with a song called If I Can Dream, and it went on to become a big hit for him as well.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dream come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear? Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle, yeah. And while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream,
Presley taking it home, If I Can Dream.
Well, we barely turned the stove on and warmed up as we get ready for our second segment. We proudly salute one of our first stations to launch us, the Coast 89.7 in Glace Bay, Cape Breton. We're one family on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Bill McNeil, station manager, general manager of Glace Bay's beloved community station, the Coast. I have to say 89.7, don't I?
Yes, it's nice to add that.
Quick question. Ever been to Graceland?
I have.
What was your impression?
First impression was it was much smaller than I expected it to be. I found it a very interesting place. I had a chance to go over, when I worked in private radio and, commercial radio, we had a contest, and I actually went down to cover the CMA Awards in Nashville one year, and we took contest winners there, and we actually flew over from Nashville to Memphis and did the Graceland tour, and it was quite interesting. There was the only thing I could say about it, there was a sense of peace walking through there. It was very, very interesting building, knowing it was Elvis's home, of course, and some people would say the furniture left something to be desired in the jungle room, perhaps, and things like that. But I just found it very interesting.
All white living room?
Oh, that's right. Huge sofa.
Sofa, white sofa.
Absolutely huge.
And that grand piano down there.
And the grand piano, yeah.
When you go through the tour, and I got in there just before it opened to the public, so they're taking tour guides through to show and explain and remind them of what they needed to talk about. The building behind it where they had all his costumes and awards and,
right,
and belt buckles and stuff. They said there'd been no concert done outside the U.S. And I put up my hand at the back and said, not
That's
so.
Right.
There was one done at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. He was interviewed in Vancouver. I got a copy of that. But I think the show may have been canceled. I'm not sure. But I know, know he did it in Toronto maybe in 57. The second thing is that there was a bungalow way behind that house. And this redheaded woman came out and walked over to me and said, "Who y'all?" And I said, "Well, I'm Paul from, where y'all from?" I said, "From Canada." And she said, "I'm Delta May. I'm Elvis's aunt." And we had a wonderful conversation. The third thing is when you went down to the basement and there was that soda bar. Yes. I always want to know what music musicians listen to. I went over to the stack of LPs, and the one sitting right on the top was Anne Murray's Snowbird.
That was Elvis Presley's favorite female singer of all time, Anne Murray.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite male singer was Dean Martin.
I've got a song for you, and we'd like to feature classics and variety of music here on the Blue Nose Opera House, but this is, to me anyway, a newish group, and it's a female group called Perpetual Detour, and it's from the CD Tired of the Scenery. This is called Little Earthquakes.
Here we are, waiting for the world to end, and all of the little earthquakes. Here we are, we're waiting with our words in hand. Is anyone listening?
Tired of the Scenery, Little Earthquakes, and that's Perpetual Detour. I should say the CD is Tired of the Scenery. Hey, very interesting group, and you play a number of their cuts.
Yeah, a number of their tracks on the coast, yeah.
We were talking about your early background, and you mentioned Presley. What other music did you hear in your original or early family home?
I heard everything. I grew up with a radio station that played a lot of different types of music anyway. I guess for non-radio people, the term was block programming, but today you hear specialized stations. It's a country station or it's a rock station. Back then, they played a lot of different types of music, but probably the biggest musical influence I had was the music of my parents and the music of my grandparents who lived next door, because they had come, they were immigrants from Belgium, and so they loved the European music, but they took to the North American music just as much as the music they had at home. And my grandfather in particular was tremendous, tremendous singer. Unfortunately, there was no organization to work with, like an ECMA or any of that at that time. Went to work in the coal mines at the age of 13, but at one point could actually shatter a glass with his voice. Just a tremendous, tremendous singer. And as I grew up, I was, probably not your normal teenager, because I grew up listening to a country radio show in the afternoon on the local station that I just loved. I always liked lyrics, so I think that's why I went with that.
Eddie Arnold.
Jim Reeves was a big hit with the listeners.
And
all of that.
The two Hanks.
Absolutely. And, through my grandfather, he was also a drummer, and they had a family band, and over the years, I kind of made extra money going to high school by playing in a musical group with my grandfather and, believe it or not, my high school music teacher who played piano.
What kind of music?
It was everything. I would sing a John Denver tune, like Take Me Home, Country Roads. My grandfather would sing, Now Is the Hour and great classics like that, Spanish Eyes, of course, and songs of that nature. The Dean Martin, the Al Martino kind of music. And then we'd break into Roll Out the Barrel. It was just that kind of thing. And probably not the coolest thing most kids would think, playing with their grandfather in a group in a seniors club. But I absolutely loved every single minute of it, and it had a big influence on my musical tastes.
But that is really the backbone of music in Cape Breton, though, isn't it? People respected previous generations, the parents and grandparents. Buddy McMaster standing up in a hall in Mabu at the community center and saying, there's been a resurgence in Celtic music and we are the recipients of that new popularity. And of course, he could be referring to his niece, Natalie. But he said, we must remember that we're standing on the shoulders of the generations that came before us. And all of us must remember that too, of those that we listen to and that you were involved with.
It's so true. And to this day, when we have young artists come in, especially traditional artists, into the station, they always talk about their aunts and their uncles and their grandparents and how they influence their music as well.
Speaking of new artists, you brought in a fellow who's just starting to have his career take off, named Al Martino.
I brought that because of, as I mentioned, my grandfather had a lot of influence on me, and I loved it. Every time he sang that song, it was just tremendous to listen to him. And when I play this song, we have a show called Sunday Brunch. We run 9 till noon on our radio station, and it's all, it's Nana Mouskouri and Dean Martin and the Carpenters and Al Martino, and who doesn't like that music? I mean, it's just tremendous singers, long before the days of autotune. David will agree with that, I'm sure. This particular song, it always brings me back and lets me think about my grandfather and playing in that group with him.
And this is co-written by Bert Kampfert.
As a matter of fact, it was an instrumental by Bert Kampfert, and then words were put to it by two different songwriters later on. It's kind of a neat story in itself.
This is Spanish Eyes.
Blue Spanish eyes, teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes. This is just adios and not goodbye. Soon I'll return, bringing you all the love your heart can hold. say you and your Spanish eyes will wait for me. Spanish eyes, prettiest eyes in all of Mexico. Spanish eyes, please smile for me once more before I.
I don't know what story, but Al Martino was a bricklayer, I think, in Philadelphia before he was discovered. Good, good voice.
Great voice.
Al Martino. And you, by the way, you get the award for the most organized person we've ever had on this show. We ask for song titles. We ask for four things: the artist, the song title, the composer, and the timing. Sometimes I get one or two, have to do a lot of work. And you even gave the intro amounts and the year. So you get an extra cup of coffee.
All right. Sounds good. One of the great radio stations on anyone's dial is The Coast 89.7, covering Eastern Cape Breton from Glace Bay. It's an exceptional and beloved community station that makes it possible for you to tune in here on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
This guy's not going to introduce me as co-host. This is the Blue Nose Opera House. Bill McNeil sitting to my right, station manager and head honcho of The Coast Radio in Glace Bay, 89.7. You think you know everything, don't you?
I can
tell by the look in your eye. You're like Jimmy Key winding up with a pitch for the Blue Jays. So we're going to play Stump the Chump.
Oh, great.
And I'm putting a dime on the table right there, and we'll see how much you know about this song that David is starting right now. And tell me anything, whether it's the songwriter, the title, the singer, who's in the orchestra, what they had for lunch, the wallpaper.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The wind grows colder. And suddenly you're older. And all because of the man.
That sounds a lot like Cher.
That got away.
I owe you 10 cents.
No more.
I have not heard this song before.
His eager call.
Keep going, pal.
Oh, the writing's on the wall.
You're good.
Oh, the dreams you dreamed have all gone astray.
Are you cribbing with Jim Corbett in the other studio?
No. Definitely not. But he would probably know. He's pretty good at this music trivia thing, you know.
And undone you, the great beginning has seen its final ending. Don't know what happened. It's all a crazy.
Kind of sounds like a Herb Alpert arrangement there.
You know the name of the song?
No, I don't.
She's got to give it to you.
I'm just amazed at her vocal on the song.
Good riddance, or goodbye.
amazing.
Judy Garland did it too.
Oh, but really stumped.
You were right with Cher.
The road gets rougher. It's lonelier and it's tougher. With hope you burn up.
It's a far cry from some of the other things she's done.
Yeah.
There's just no let up. The live long night and day. Ever since this world began, oh, there ain't nothing sad.
Arrangement there.
Oh, incredible.
But older artists tend to go back to some of the classics, as Tony Bennett would say, the North American Songbook of Arlen, Jerome Kern, maybe even the Gershwins, Cole Porter, Irving Berlin.
A few guys who did okay.
And that, sir, is a collaboration between Harold Arlen and Ira Gershwin. Man That Got Away.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Nice to hear her vocal way in front. So much of the newer Cher music was covered with a lot of other instrumentation, but nice to hear her. I mean, wow, great vocal.
Man That Got Away. So I owe you 10 cents, and you know you're out of luck. I don't know if you need gasoline when you leave here, because I have a nickel in my pocket.
Oh.
I have to mail it to you.
Okay.
That's the kind of fun that we have here, and you're good for it. And some people talk about, and I know it makes me feel not guilty, but inadequate when they can remember something from age 2. Do you have an early memory that pops up? I maybe go back to 4.
Wow.
A birthday party where I got one of those plastic hats with this elastic string that goes under your chin, had a propeller on it. Maybe I thought I would be a helicopter or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I go back to probably, I guess, age 3, and I remember having a little pedal car, and it wasn't made of plastic, it was metal. Imagine that now. Probably not safe on today's standards.
Like the Red Flyer wagons.
Yeah, similar to that. Yeah.
Radio Flyer.
Yeah, yep. Radio Flyer, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that for sure.
School influences. Any teachers that stand out?
Oh, certainly. I mentioned my music teacher a little while ago when I was in junior high, and he was a gentleman who played the piano as well. Elmer Sims had a great influence on music, listening to other types of music and that sort of thing. In my grade 12, my graduating year, I switched schools. Now, that's kind of scary for a kid. And I was lucky enough that in changing schools for a course that I needed for radio school, believe it or not, that my other school hadn't offered, I brought my guitar along, and it opened a lot of doors for me. And they were looking for a guitar player to accompany the chorale, or the glee club, I guess, in some schools it would be called. Yep. And I said, oh, well, I'll try doing that. And that's when I got to really learn. You know, in 1 year, I went from playing Dust in the Wind by Kansas in a musical production to playing White Rose of Athens by Nana Mouskouri, to be true to our school in a high school production as well with a group. And it was just a lot of fun. And one particular teacher that had a lot of influence on me that year was the teacher who also looked after the chorale, and that was Bruce Cathcart. And his son is now handling musical and choreography direction for some of the great local musicals that are now taking place at the Savoy Theater in Glace Bay.
Savoy, yeah. Calypso, are you a sailor?
Not a sailor. I wish I would like to be a sailor, maybe. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the water. Certainly have never had a fear of sailing in any way. And the closest I get to sailing these days is every spring we go on a cruise, usually in the Caribbean.
And playing John Denver's Calypso.
Yeah, it's kind of a childhood memory for me as well, because long before the Discovery Channel, we would sit around the TV and we would watch those wonderful Jacques Cousteau specials. And I just loved his philosophy. And he was talking long before anybody used the word environment. He was talking about being environmentally conscious and that sort of thing. And I was a big John Denver fan. I liked his writing in particular. And that particular song, there's just something about it. When you listen, you hear the ship's bell in there and the whole bit. It tells the story of that ship, the good ship Calypso, that we watched every week or more on TV. And it also was one of the last double-sided 45 singles of all time. It was the flip side of a big song called I'm Sorry for John Denver, and they both became hits.
I sailed on a dream on a crystal clear ocean, to ride on the crest of a wild raging storm, to work in the service of life and the living, in search of the answers to questions unknown, part of the movement, part of the growing, part of beginning to understand. By Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell. By Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well. I am dolphin who guides you, you bring us beside you, light up the darkness and show us the way. For though we are strangers in your silent world, to live on the land we must learn from the sea. To be true as the tide, free as a wind swell, joyful and loving in letting it be. By Calypso, the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell. By Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well. By Calypso, the places you've been to,
Denver, with that purity and positive sound of his voice, and I think it's ageless too. And you were right, you said it well, how Denver and Jacques Cousteau, that song Calypso melded the two ideas in one's mind and heart. You got the last word.
All right. If you're catching us in Sydney, New Waterford, or anywhere else in Eastern Cape Breton, it's because you're tuned to The Coast 89.7. Great community radio here on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
We're roaring through this. You feeling comfortable?
I love this. This is great.
It's a piece of cake, isn't it?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, for you. I got to do all the planning.
You did.
Do you know? It's like crafting something. People probably have the image, because it sounds relaxed, that you walk in with a bunch of records under your arm, or CDs or USB stick today, and you just have a chat and you throw it together. Here's a song, there's a song. I've spent up to 60 hours putting together, reading, taking notes, putting together, and the music, all the emails beforehand, Silver Donald Cameron, trying to do justice to his work. Not complaining, but yeah, it's something that's crafted.
It sure is.
So since you're relaxed, I want to share a singer with you. I think she hangs out now somewhere in the Truro area, the hub of Nova Scotia, they call it. And she is a performance cellist. But I didn't know she was songwriting. Maybe she was working on it. And her partner is James Hill, who is a noted, one of the best ukulele players in the world, and sometimes toured with him, with her cello. Her name is Ann Janelle, sometimes known as Ann Davison. And she, on this song, does vocal, accordion, cello. James Hill on tenor and baritone. I didn't know they had such a thing. Tenor and baritone ukulele. The song is called Spark. She's a heck of a songwriter, and this is what it sounds like.
There's a spark in her eye, tease out the best of these possibilities. There's a spark in her eye, fields are aflame with the light of the morning. Grandfather's clock strikes a warning, keep your eye on the storm. Possibilities, rumbling fills her ears. The loud of the crash brings sweet relief, peace from the voices who in all of their mischief can hardly compete. Inviting you in this time, this one time, stay.
Rock her east and west, a balancing feat. Her eyes become the rain, tease out the best of these possibilities. Her eyes become the rain, but the fog has lifted the weight of the morning. Droplets fall like a poor man's offering, outrunning. Inviting you in this time, this one time, stay.
Janelle, and I'm anxious to get her into the studio because she is so talented. That song is called Spark. She writes all of her own music. Great ability.
She should sing more.
And musician, yes, yes. And she's able to do different genres. There's one song on that CD that has very much a kind of a 50s, 60s retro sound of a woman waiting to be asked to dance. What makes a good broadcaster today, Bill? It's a big, what I call a round question.
Yeah. I think, you know, probably for me, the most important thing is knowing your market or your audience. I think you have to know who's who's listening and who you're trying to reach. So many stations today, it seems, do the same thing in 50 markets, but are they real? You know what I mean?
And it's boring.
Yeah, it is. It's not overly
computerized format.
Very much. Yeah. I like real radio.
Are there jobs for people like that?
Probably in community radio. They don't pay very well, but there is jobs in community radio for that for sure. It's also a nice place for entry level for younger people coming out of broadcast school now, because that's another thing that has been lost. The all-night shows that used to be the kind of the break-in point for many folks, they're gone. They're automated. So, you know, community radio is probably the first point of contact for most people now.
Community radio is growing in Canada. I think people are getting tired of formats, and it seems to be exploding in the States. I noticed that NPR, National Public Radio, and American Public Media in the States are growing rapidly, also by acquiring college or university radio stations. So you'll hear young people on those stations, but also serious, salty broadcasters. I wonder if that's going to happen here too.
It's going to be interesting. The campus radio scene is quite different than the community radio scene from a programming standpoint and an audience standpoint, but it is certainly growing.
If a Gordon Sinclair were to come out of school today, do you think he would have trouble finding a job?
I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he would.
It's a very different landscape.
And that's a very sad statement to think that that's the way it's gone, but it has become so... I don't want to say homogenized, but certainly, you know, run-of-the-mill, factory-oriented radio.
Make your money, buy as many stations as you can, dumb it down, format it. And the stations that carry us are really exceptional, and boy, am I grateful. Including having you as a right arm for us, and Ron Bickle, and Marie Hurst, and Henning Groom, and John Wiles, and... There's still so many good people who realize the value of, I guess you call it communication.
Communication and good programming.
And radio school. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Michael Murphy and Wildfire, that was a big hit.
Yeah, it was a very big hit. Back in, I think, 75 for him, it was a big single. I chose that song because, again... my grandparents that lived next door, my grandmother, after my grandfather had passed away, my grandmother had always wanted to go to the city of Nashville. And my first trip to Nashville was with my grandmother. And she and I went off on this great adventure and flew down to Nashville. And I had a friend who was working in the music industry down there, still is, Gilles Goddard. And you had to see the look of my grandmother's face. He arrived at the airport in a stretch limo. Champagne on ice for us, and took us all around town. And of course, everybody thought we were country stars in this limo. They couldn't see, and she got the biggest kick out of that. And we got to get out there and see a few shows. Went to the Opry and that sort of thing. But there was a wonderful theater just outside of Nashville. And that night, Martin Murphy, as he was known then, was performing. And I, to this day, have to say it was one of the best concerts I have ever seen. Just a tremendous live performer.
Why? How?
Just the energy. He had the crowd in the palm of his hand. He captured us from the opening note to the closing note, with the finale being the fact that he ran the center aisle of the theater from stage to the back, and everybody was on their feet. And later on, years later, little did I know, I'd have a chance to interview him. And he told some great stories, was married at the time to a girl from Quebec, and was very, very cognizant of Canada, and again, very much an environmentalist, that sort of thing. And but this song, when I hear this song, I think, you know, certainly back in my high school days, that's when it was a hit, but certainly as well, that great first adventure in Music City.
She comes down from Yellow Mountain on a dark flat land she rides, on a pony she named Wildfire, with a whirlwind by her side. On a cold Nebraska night, they say she died one winter there came a killing frost, and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost. Dark of the moon, I planted it. But there came an early snow. There's been a hoot owl howling by my window now for 6 nights in a row. She's coming.
Bill McNeil. I've never heard that entire version before.
You haven't heard the full version before. Beautiful.
Michael Murphy and Wildfire. Thanks, Bill McNeil of the Coast, 89.7 Glace Bay. It has been wonderful having you here. We've waited for this moment to happen just a bit. This is podcast number 83 on our website, BlueNoseOperaHouse.ca, where you can hear this show again or any of our other 82 shows, see pics, blogs, read bios, and check the links. I'm Paul Kellogg, along with Bill McNeil, station manager of our beloved Cape Breton community radio station, The Coast, 89.7, saying thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear from you via snail mail, Post Office Box 1768, Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, B0J2C0. Now, don't touch that dial on the Blue Nose Opera House radio show.